shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. My name is Chris Jeppa.
My name is Katie Nordgren. Why did I say that like a Borat? It's horrible.
My podcast co-host.
My podcast.
And with us today is a super wonderful, lovely friend of ours, non-binary, femme, awesome massage therapist, crafty person. It's Ray.
Hi.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Hi.
And I didn't know that Katie and Ray had never met before, so I'm really glad we have a lot of overlapping Venn diagrams in our friend life.
That whole thing of, do you know this person? Oh, no, but we have, like, a million mutual friends. Yep. We just haven't actually met yet.
Anybody who's ever ordered a binder off of Amazon, we're all mutual friends with.
Pretty much. That sounds about right.
Story checks out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was a lot of those people were at my show last night, so nice. It was really fantastic. Oh, my God, there were so many hot queers there!
What was the show?
It was the Sad Mag Show, hosted and produced by past guest Jackie Hoffert. It was a fantastic show. She wore flowy pajama pants that I loved very much. She looked like an aunt who loves Stevie Nicks a little too much.
Great.
Which was a great look for her. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun. It was a really great lineup. The comedian / political criticist? That's not a word, critic. Sean Devlin was there.
Ah, yes.
He was headlining. He was fantastic.
He's so smart.
So smart. And Elaine Williams was there. He's really cool. And so there's a lot of, the show really centered women, which was awesome. Had a killer set. It was fantastic. Yay. And yeah, I got like a beautiful free Sad Mag to take home.
Great.
And it's full of like portraits of cheese. It's a cheese issue, so there's like someone painted a portrait of a Hawkins Cheesies bag that's like in it as a piece of art. I'm thinking I'm gonna exacto that out and frame it for my father because it is the snack of champions, of Canadian champions. A Hawkins cheese. So that was awesome. How are you?
I'm good. Just feel free to interrupt us anytime.
Oh, no, I'm having
rambling.
A great time just
We
listening.
Just ramble. Mm-hmm. I had a really awesome week, like, work was work. It was fine. It was nice. I got to do a lot of, like, outdoorsy things for work this week, like tabling at a festival and handing out miniature British Columbia flags to children. So, like, that was adorable. And then I had a show with my new band, Everybody Kiss, at the Princeton.
Did Everybody Kiss?
No, we did a shot, though, so it was kind of like kissing.
I think I kissed you.
Oh, yeah, you probably
did. Not everybody, but that's enough.
We encourage people to kiss at our shows, and, like, our tagline is dare to be cute, because all of our songs are, like, we realize that we just write kind of sweet, short pop songs, and I really love it, you guys.
Allison might be the cutest person I've ever known.
She's amazing. She's so amazing, and she sings and plays drums so well together, and she writes songs that are just so adorable. She wrote one about her cat. And it was great.
What song is that one?
Bread and Butter. And it's the one that we're like screaming, like, you butter my bread. Yeah,
oh my God. That song's
like,
about a cat?
Yeah, it's about her cat, Jean.
Well, I definitely thought it was about a Loverman.
Well, yeah, but it's like, you love machine, Jean. I'm going to shake you like a tambourine.
That's really cute.
It's very cute.
And she has a song about Zac Efron?
Yes. Yeah. That's very, very fun. So, like, I love it. I love being on stage. I love performing. I forgot. And
it was great.
I had, like, a mini existential crisis the next day because I was like, why am I not just playing in a band all the time? Why am I doing all this other bullshit? And I just, like, yeah, I felt kind of sad. And then I kind of spiraled a little. I was telling Ray downstairs, like, I was like, no, but, like, that was the first show and all our friends were there, so, like, it's never going to be that good again. And if we were in a band, like, and playing, like, way more often, we're only going to have the opportunity to play a couple more shows. Like,
yeah.
If we did, like, have a band and we toured, like, it just wouldn't be the same and we'd all wind up hating each other. It'd be terrible. So I guess I should, and I just, like, yeah, very existential.
What a spiral.
So I feel like I maybe killed all my serotonin on stage. I just had such a good time.
You made natural MDMA for yourself.
Basically.
Yeah. Wow.
And now just...
Just crashing, man.
Oh,
yeah.
The
it's
blurst.
Not great.
That's tough.
So, yeah. It's, and I realize that I really don't ever want to just play solo by myself. I just always like having a band and like having rhythm, like having drums is something that I've like missed.
Yeah. Playing. Would you say that it so, butters your bread?
Yeah. So like me and Allison, man, it's great. And then,
two peas in a pod.
Yeah. So I love it.
Yeah.
It's wicked. Good.
It was an awesome show. I had a great time.
Thank you. So yeah, we're going to record on Monday so that we get all of our songs down for posterity and then hopefully try to play a couple more shows in August.
Right on. Rock and or roll. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. I have a question for you guys, like, versus, like, decadence versus depression for staying in bed all day. Ugh. I was thinking about this because I was like, oh, like, I'm just gonna stay in bed, I'm gonna lounge, I'm gonna just, like, watch movies, but it's like, how do I make it feel like I'm not, like, depressed staying in bed? That it's more of, like, a decadence thing? So the line that I had, it's like, when I'm depressed, I'm still in my pajamas, I shut the door, I draw the curtains, like, keep it kind of dark, and then usually I haven't eaten food yet or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, if it's a decadent day, it's like, I put on, like, sexy pajamas. Or, like, some kind of, like, nice house loungewear.
This one only has holes where they're supposed to be. That's a sexy pajama for me.
Yeah, I, like, keep the door open, I go, like, on top of the covers instead of getting under the covers, so I'm still, like, lying in bed under, like, a light blanket. And, like, usually I've, like, already brushed my teeth. I was just thinking about that today. I, like, got up at 9:30 and just, like, did my morning routine and all my business and, like, ate breakfast and, like, came back to bed and just, like, watched Glorious or Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling TV show.
Nice.
Which is the best TV show. I finished it. It's amazing.
Oh, God, you finished it already.
I binged it so fast. Man. So fast.
That's got everything I want in it. Women, wrestling, comedy.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's a new Netflix show. It came out yesterday.
So you've done it already.
I've done it. Mm-hmm. They're 30-minute episodes, so it's very easy to, like...
set in the 80s, I believe.
Yes.
And it's about some ragtag group of ladies starting a wrestling league, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just really, really funny. Because I heard an interview with Alison Brie, who's the lead character... And they all had to, like, learn how to wrestle for it.
Probably and train and get lots of muscle
and
stuff.
I was just like, I kind of want to be a wrestler now.
We interviewed a wrestler on the podcast a few months ago, and it was so energizing for me, because I really love professional wrestling. Yeah. Like, I'm one of those weird queers that likes professional wrestling. There's many of us out there. Yeah. And, it was just, she was so excited about things that it was so infectious to both of us. And now I'm like, Chris is going to come to the wrestling side.
So what would be your wrestler name?
I have no idea. So the show
Stubborn Turnip. You just like, hold on to the turnbuckle and no one can pull you off.
That would be a good strategy.
You just exhaust them.
And then they have
and
to
then
do
you
like
sit
a,
on their chest.
They have to do like a tag team like with like everybody like getting in the ring
and
trying to like
oh my god,
pull me off.
That's adorable. But it would have to be in Polish. So whatever stubborn is in Polish.
Yeah.
Jeppy.
Yeah.
That'd be so cute.
Oh man. I was thinking about this cuz like the whole thing about their creating their characters, like, figuring out, like, what archetype are you kind of exploiting or, like, heightening. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, fuck, like, I don't... This was part of my existential crisis yesterday. I'm like,
what am I?
I don't have a thing. Like, I don't have a signature thing or, like, a look or, like, a whatever. And it's like, I guess cello, but that's, like, an accessory.
You just
like,
beat people with a cello. How do you like this big violin? Yeah. In your ass.
Just, like, a paddle. Just, like, beating people with it. But I don't know. What do you? Can you think of a wrestling name?
That you for you?
No, for you.
Oh, for me. Well, what you're talking about before, how you brought up sleep, I was like, oh that's that. If I had a superpower, that would be, like sleep
Are
is my superpower.
Super good at sleeping.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Katie's so but like, jealous.
A wave of jealousy coming off of me.
But so much that it's like a problem. I slept in till 12 yesterday, got up for like 10 minutes and then had a nap.
Getting up tired you out so much, they're just like, I've earned it.
But it's the difference between of like, am I doing this? Yeah, like you're saying, am I doing this because I'm depressed? No, I just really like sleep and I regret, like I love the actual act of sleeping, but then the like not being able to get up and then you feel kind of
groggy,
out of it afterwards.
Yeah.
That then I'm like, oh, but I have stuff to do. But I just love sleeping and I feel like a cat because it's nice out. And
yeah, you just need to find a sunbeam and just zonk out there. Yeah.
So I feel like...
It feels decadent,
I'd be a
sleep, though. Yeah.
I'd sleepy wrestler, maybe. Mm. Or,
You'd put people in sleeper holds.
Either that, or when I've play fought with people because I know anatomy so well, I know where things hurt.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
So people don't like to play fight with me because I'm mean.
The old knuckle in the serratus.
Oh, no.
Or elbow in the sternum.
Oh, yeah, that'll hurt, too.
Yikes. I don't think you're supposed to really hurt people in wrestling.
Between the
you
ribs.
Do the doc. They just call you Doc, basically.
Oh, shit.
And the adductors, like in that inner thigh, just get right
oh
in
my God.
There.
Oh, my God. I've had them massaged before. It hurts very badly.
Yeah.
It hurts real bad, but if you gotta manipulate your psoas, what else are you gonna do?
Oh, and I'm super nice when I'm working.
Yeah, of course.
I'm professional when I'm working.
You're doing, like, fat elbow drops onto anyone on the table?
Unless they ask, I guess.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
No, that's RMT After Dark. It's just like a fight club massaging. Just for people for whom deep tissue sports massage is insufficient, you really need to like go sledgehammer on them,
They need to go to a rolfer. Because wow,
what is describe for us what rolfing is? Because I think I know what it is.
So the only
like frisbee golf with razors.
It depends on who you go to. So the only person that I've went to has been an RMT for 25 years.
Someone who rolfed you?
Yes. Jeez. So it's like really intense. Fascial release. So fascia is your connective tissue. So if you've ever had like a snake bite like on your arm before, that's a fascial burn.
Okay.
So rolfing, this person practiced soft rolfing because in rolfing school. that's a thing.
Soft rolf.
Apparently, in rolfing school, if you're.
Oh my God.
If you're
King
not.
Rolf is the name of this episode.
If your person isn't in excruciating pain, then you're doing it wrong, which this person thankfully doesn't believe in. Okay. DLC can still get amount of release with still working within the person's pain tolerance. But it's like 10 sessions and it's systematically going through the body. So like the first one is like releasing the abdomen and the chest and then like. Diaphragm and getting you to breathe like all into all sides of your ribs and everything. It's intense and it's a lot of work, but it was really helpful. So it's not like you go away and you're like, oh, this is like my legs are hurting me today. It's each session is addressing a certain part of the body,
right?
And that, but they say the 10 sessions is like all you need for
life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
like a Moen faucet.
Like it was really good, but it's also intense.
Yeah, so they're just like rubbing on your skin like in weird friction, like
It's more so fascial release is more, how can I describe it? So a lot of when I describe things like this, I use my hands, and because this isn't visual, it's hard to do that. So how could I describe, if anybody's had fascial, so what you're thinking about is like rubbing across the skin like this, where it's more like sustained pressure against the fascia to release it and, like, waiting for that release.
So it burns? Is that what the sensation feels like?
Yeah, like a snake bite on your wrist.
Okay.
It does have that burning kind of sensation. That's the fascia. So you can get that with massage as well if, like, I do myofascial release.
Yeah, full disclosure, Ray is my massage therapist.
Indeed.
And has done really excellent fascial release on my abdomen and, like, all kinds of stuff. Like.
So this, I don't want to say it's more aggressive, but it's more focused.
Okay.
The stuff that we did was was for a different intent, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, it's pretty cool, though.
So when did you get your license?
I've been, it's been 7 years.
Wow.
I know.
And your wrists are still holding up?
Well, you don't really use your wrists all that much. I think that we think about, and again, I can't show this, but when you think about just massaging somebody with like your hands and your thumbs like on the back of their shoulders.
Yeah. In like a pinching motion.
Yeah, this is more, it depends on what I'm doing, but if I'm doing any, like, deeper tissue, I'm using really good biomechanics. I'm using, like, my forearm or my fist rather than, like, my wrist.
Right.
Because the joints are so small. That's something they teach you in school, too, on how to use your body properly.
Yeah,
because
that, like, the whole sustainability of being a massage therapist, like...
They never used to teach that, and then people would, like, blow out their thumbs and...
Oh, my gosh!
Some people still get really, they get kind of burnt out, and I think partly is because... It's really, it's heavy emotional work, too. Like, I mean, you're not actively, but,
if you're an empathetic person.
Which I think a lot of RMTs are. That's why we're in that kind of helping
you'd
profession.
You'd be drawn to that, yeah.
But it's, if you're not super clear about, your boundaries, like, people unconsciously kind of put their stuff on you. So if you're not really clear about that, it can be really exhausting.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day. I go to acupuncture pretty regularly, and I feel like I was going to therapy for a little bit, and the acupuncture was actually more helpful, like, in terms of how she listened to me, and, like, yeah, just, like, asking some pretty directed questions just about, like, how your general health has been this week, like, how's your digestion, how's your, you know, vaginal discharge, and all that kind of, like, she needs to know all that stuff to, like, help regulate cycles and whatever. And I was like, this is way more therapeutic to me than, like, narrative therapy was.
For some people it can be, for sure.
And so, but I can imagine, like, acupuncture, too, like, a lot of people are in tears, like, in the community acupuncture thing. Like, you see people, like, they're just, like, crying and sitting there. Like, there's a lot of emotional release that happens. Yeah. And so I wonder, like, I heard a different acupuncturist in the same place, like, really getting into it with somebody's trauma. And the woman was just, like, totally just venting to her. And I'm like, this doesn't feel super safe, like, in terms of, like, does she know how to deal with...
That's not their scope of practice.
That's not their scope of practice. And so, like, the woman's talking about some traumatic things that happened to her. And they say, oh, my God, that's so horrible. Like, tell me more.
Like, within a community type. That also, what if that's going to bring up some stuff for other people that are listening
to
it?
I know.
And what about confidentiality?
Yes, I know. So it was just, like, it's all in hushed tones and most people have headphones. And it was just, like, a weird... So I was thinking about boundaries. Like, so the person that I see is really good, like, solid... Yeah.
Well, I guess it, like, you know, it's not my scope of practice to get into any sort of talk therapy, but people, like, you end up getting a rapport, and people tell you, like, some pretty intense stuff.
Well, especially when you're, like, you know, what are you coming in for if there's, like, an injury, how that might have been sustained, or, like, if there was any emotional...
Past trauma,
like, because, yeah, you're getting touched by somebody, and so you're trying to figure out your boundaries and their boundaries, and...
And it's mostly I just do active listening.
Yeah.
Like, I try not to give any advice. But, I mean, it's hard when you've known somebody for so long. And it's like, yeah, it's just going to be kind of careful that you're not getting into the counseling. I think people just want validation.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. That's, like, 90% of what people want, for sure. Yeah. I mean, there are real things that can be addressed, but mostly that's what I think people... The bulk of why people need therapy in large numbers is, like, just we need to be validated because nobody really knows how to communicate and support each other.
And a lot of people just want validation about their pain.
Yeah.
Like, what they're feeling
is real. Oh, that sounds really hard. Yeah. And, like, wow, you must be really stressed out. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Okay, now I'm going to sleep through the night because somebody's validated it, right? Like, yeah, you get start to feel really solipsistic if you don't have somebody else sort of reflect what's going on for you.
And I think a lot of people that I see are people who don't get that. They take care of everybody else in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm, like, the one person or maybe one of the few people that's actually taking care of them.
Yeah.
Which that can be really intense if you're not, like...
that's a ton to deal with.
Grounding yourself or whatever. But I also really like that part of my job, to be honest.
it's more of the community aspect than just, like, a person-to-person because you're... increasing the social health of the people that you see.
Yeah, and I also want to be, like, a safe person to go to.
Of course.
Like, that's huge.
Important.
Mm-hmm. But that's not always, like, we talk about power dynamics in school and that sort of thing, but I don't think it's, depends on the population that you work with and what you kind of want to get out of it, but I think that would be talked about, or should be talked about more.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, it's, I tend to build rapports with my practitioners, whether it's, like, a hairstylist or a massage therapist or an acupuncturist and that kind of stuff. And so I'm a real sharer, but I think I have a pretty good idea of what's okay to say and what's not. But I imagine a lot of people would just start to feel comfortable with someone and then just, like, bleh.
Yeah.
All starts coming out, and that would be tough to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes people just need to talk.
Of course.
I think we're taught in school to, like, get people to focus on their breath, which is great, but there's also some people that just need to vent, and that's fine.
Mm. Yeah. We always joke when I go in for a treatment with you that we need to actually hang out more outside of the massage room because we just wind up chatting the whole time, and I'm just like, oh, I need to relax.
Yes. That is a problem, too, when I go to see somebody I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
And I want to catch up on everything that we're doing, but also I kind of want a quiet massage. Yeah. I get that a lot.
That's real.
You can't just tut at your friends like, no conversation. I don't want to talk. That would be a real diva move.
I've totally done that.
Yeah, I
went to another therapist and I'm like, oh, and I knew she's the type of person. I feel like any massage therapist you should be able to ask. I want it quiet today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Let's not talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've definitely heard, complaints of folks where it's like, and then the massage therapist just talked about her own stuff the whole time, like, while she was massaging me, and I feel like I took on that
That's happened to me a couple times.
Yeah,
so. I also got one of the best massages I've ever gotten from somebody who did not shut up the whole time, so I was just like, it really worked itself out, sort of. I was just like, it was a really good massage. It's just like one of those things that you just die if you stop talking, like that condition that some people have, so I have it occasionally.
I used to have that in the beginning. I get nervous and then I talk.
Oh yeah, fill the space, right?
Yeah, and now
sounds
I'm like
scary.
No, it's I actually really like that I can just shut up at my job.
Yeah,
I don't have to talk. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's really nice. I have to talk so much at my job.
Yeah, that's rough. Ray, what's your favorite muscle?
Oh my god. Okay, so I have. Is it because of what it does or the name?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's do both.
Okay,
we've
so
we got time.
Well, these are kind of. So one of my favorites that comes to mind is Articularis Genu. I love that I said that as you're taking a drink of your water.
It sounds like something from like a Julie Andrews movie. Yeah. Well, so, what was it again?
Articularis Genu.
Hey.
So what it does is when your knee is in flexion,
yeah.
It locks your patella, otherwise known as your kneecap, in place.
Yeah.
So it's like right deep to your quads.
Okay.
Just because it's fun to say. Articularis Genu. My other is sternocleidomastoid.
Oh, I love that one. That's a good one.
Because it was my password for a long time. It's the big muscle when you turn your neck on the side there.
Oh, it's like a hangover muscle. Because if you have a really bad hangover, that's always where those muscles are super achy.
And you dig into them and then you just feel
so gross after, but then slightly better. Hmm. Like the alcohol headache goes away like 10% every time.
I've never
thought about that.
Bex did that to me once. I was like, yeah, those are the hangover muscles. And I was like, oh, they are.
It's just a mutual friend of ours who does bodywork things as well.
Indeed.
Yes.
Who works at the same clinic that I work at.
Overlapping layers and layers of Eastman.
Yes. Well, it's also nice to have like some other non-binary folks that work massage. Mm-hmm. There's also somebody else who's non-binary.
Bex is legitimately my oldest friend on the earth.
Oh, really?
We've been friends since we were 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Elementary school.
That's awesome.
Oh,
we
yeah.
actually first met when we were both volunteering for the Catherine White Home Wellness Center.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember when they were doing that.
Yeah. We both did it for a couple of years, and then this is the first clinic we've worked at where we worked together.
That's awesome.
Although they haven't been there for a while because...
Broken leg
and being... doing OT stuff. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Rare Sunday
bettering
nice.
Themselves as a practitioner.
Indeed.
And all that stuff.
Yes.
Fancy.
Yeah.
So,
but in terms of like muscles I like to work on, see, there's all these categories.
There's so many. I love it. I love that you have multiple faves. I like to imagine you like connecting them up with strings in your bedroom or something, like doing like a fantasy draft of muscles or something.
So ones I like to work on, psoas is a major one. That's your major hip flexor, access through the abdomen. Mm-hmm. I also really like working on medial and lateral pterygoid, which are in your jaw, and they're best accessed intraorally, which
in the mouth,
yeah.
Huh.
Get in there.
Which not a lot of RMTs do. It's something we're taught very basic in school, but I've taken some. With people with TMJ issues or clenching, it's really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many. Yeah, that's exact. But what's so cool about those muscles is like you engage them and you just wait, and then they're just like, it's really helpful.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, sorry, you're getting on my favorite topic.
No, this is great. Sorry, this is the whole purpose of this podcast. It wasn't even about massage, it was just about being an anatomy nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to learn things about bodies, because I don't know
how much Chris filled you in, but I lift weights.
Oh, cool.
And it's something I've been doing for about almost 7 months now, and I'm really into it.
Yeah. Ring the bell, guys, she brought it. No, I'm just kidding.
Boom! Always flexing, always showing. My elevators have overhead lights, so it looks very impressive when I flex. It gives me,
nice.
Like, the definition on the bicep, which
nice.
Is exciting. So all of my neighbors who have, like, closed captioning to see the footage from the elevator probably think I'm a huge nerd. Basically, it's like,
do you want to know something interesting about biceps?
Yes.
Okay, so you know when we flex and we think this is our bicep, like this whole part? It's not.
No.
Biceps are really thin. They're just this.
Just the top.
So what you're flexing, what you're flexing is brachialis.
Yeah.
That's like the bigger muscle that has the bulk. Biceps are like that.
Yeah.
I always thought that was, bodies are so fascinating.
Bodies, they're super fascinating, and I'm learning a lot about them because it's like a, I've talked about this a lot on the podcast. The gym is basically run by, like, kinesiologists. They're all very, very well adept at these kinds of things. And the person who writes my programs has, like, her bachelor of kinesiology, and she has worked with me and done, like, neurokinetic therapy on me and all kinds of stuff to figure out the stuff that I specifically need. And I had, like, a really frustrating repetitive strain wrist injury a couple weeks ago, and I had to take 2 weeks off. And so I've been coming back, and they've given me things specifically for it. My brachialis is, mm-hmm. like, one of the trigger points for it. So they were, like, digging into there and, like, manipulating all of the sort of, like, angry muscle tissue. And it just, when it finally relaxed, like, all of the wrist pain I was having, like, reduced by 50% or something like that. So it was all super connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I must have just tweaked it, but it was, like, all of the things up in my upper arm were all wonky and, like, ropey and weird. And so I had that worked on a bunch, and now I'm doing, like, a lot of adduction and subduction and all these kinds of things, exercises to strengthen them. So I'm, like, pretty excited about it. I like that bodies are hackable in this way.
Yeah.
You can, like, do different things to it to make it do stuff that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in a lot of pain today because everything I have is hamstrings, and my hamstrings are so tight that they're pulling on my lower back right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I'm curious, not that anyone can see, but I can. What would be right here?
Your SI joints.
Okay, those are super sore right now.
But it's also going into your lumbar spine. So your sacroiliac joints are, like, at the base of your spine. You have a triangular bone called your sacrum.
Mm-hmm.
So along the sacrum is the SI joint. It's the sacroiliac. So the iliac is the more outer portion of your hip.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sacrum. And but you're kind of pointing towards your lower back muscles, like your QLs and stuff like that, too, which are all combined. And I do a lot of work on people's, I massage a lot of butts.
I bet.
A lot of butts. And I mean, it makes sense, right? Because like our glutes are helping our upper body stay erect.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the time, a lot of times when people come in with low back pain, I'm like, we got to work on your glutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting when people have
it. Your butt,
yeah.
Basically.
Yes.
Yes. Butt muscles, not the in-between bit.
Not in the gluteal cleft, as it's called?
don't call it a cleft.
It's totally what it's called.
It is, of course, what it's called, but cleft somehow sounds worse than crack.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can part a cleft.
Yeah, cleft feels damp.
Trust me, it is.
Is it just because
it's
really
hot in here?
Yeah, it's just kind of hot today.
Oh, I love muscles, yeah. My hamstrings are furious at the moment. They're taut like a bow, basically.
It's very, very common. Yeah. Even, like, stretching and working on your hamstrings, sometimes it's all genetic and just how our bodies are. And my hamstrings are ridiculous. Every time I go for massage, every massage therapist is like, did you know that your hamstrings are this tight? I'm like, I know nothing about my body.
I've never applied my knowledge to myself.
No,
yeah,
they're ridiculous.
That's your job.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's a really common issue.
Oh.
Just like, as soon as you're saying, like, the glutes do all the work of, like, keeping us standing up straight, it's just like, fucking, like, standing up straight sucks so much.
Yeah. Because we're
slouching so bad right
now. Yeah, but, like, we're not built for that. Like,
well, we're pulled forward all the time, and that's, like, because of the work that we do and because that we're forward, that's another reason why low backs can hurt is because our psoas being really tight, it's shortened when we sit down, and it attaches to the front portion of your lumbar spine. So when you stand up and it's still short and it pulls your lumbar forward.
Is that why psoas manipulation hurts so much and then feels so good after?
I think it's because we're not used to getting our abdomens worked on.
Yeah. It feels super weird.
It can feel really, really weird. It just depends on how the person's working on it, too. Yeah. But, yeah, we don't usually get our abdomens worked on, which they need, the front body needs a lot more work.
The front bits.
Yeah.
I like how we both, like,
as soon as I said glutes, both of you stood up straighter.
Yeah, our posture.
I just clenched them and I rose like 3 inches. That's how big my butt is. It's meaty.
Won't quit.
It just won't. I've tried to fire it so many times. It's like, clean out your desk, butt.
I really, like, I have no butt, so I'm kind of jealous about
that. Do you want
me
to, like, FedEx you some of my
butt? A little
bit.
Because, like, my pants don't stay up. Like, even with a belt, like, as tight as possible.
No butt?
I have no ass.
Oh my god, my butt's so big. Guys, my butt. It won't quit. I've offered it a generous severance package.
Like, I have no shelf for, like, my pants to...
That's rough.
Yeah.
It is.
I was thinking a lot about, like, trading things. Like, if only you could trade parts of your body, like, so that you could take a little bit of her butt and, like, you know, we were thinking, trading personality things, or it's, like, a little bit more of my self-confidence.
Oh, like trading stats or something in D&D
Yeah, basically, it's like, oh, yeah, I could take, like, 3 points away from my, like, overinflated sense of, like, self-love. I could stand to come down a few, I could give you a few to, like, have some more of
the
that.
The marketplace would be absolutely, like, roiling with beautiful trans people. I'm like, I'll trade you my tits for your, like, whatever.
I would happily give somebody my uterus if I could.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Just, like, happily. Chuck it at them with a trebuchet.
I don't need it.
I don't need it. Yeah, mine's not super useful to me either at this point, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Maybe I've yet to incubate a future emperor of the world.
Have you been reading those Roman books again, Kate?
It's Aquarius is coming.
Chris and I have a terrible addiction to lurid historical fiction. Or a great addiction. Mm-hmm. Those books were awesome. I just finished them this morning.
Great. I've got them on a hold in the library. Fantastic. And hopefully they will come to me.
Nice.
Just all intrigue and historical fiction about the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm.
And how women consolidate their power in a patriarchal society.
Mm-hmm. I actually just finished The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, nice. Yeah. For the first time?
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that it was so... Like, was it written in 1985? I had no idea. Because I wanted to watch the show, which is pretty great.
The show is so good, and it's scary and sad.
Yes, I mean, it's very intense, and there is a critique about the show that I think is very, very accurate, is that I was very happy to see it wasn't all white people, but that being said, they don't address racism whatsoever. No. It's almost like the critiques have been like, you're in a dystopian society that's so misogynistic, it wouldn't be post-racial, and that's kind of how they're... displaying it, which is
because everyone's
the book is
in,
not post-racial.
Yeah,
the
everyone's
book is explicit.
Was it? I couldn't.
Oh yeah, it was
specific.
Very much like all people of color were banished to the colonies.
Right. Yeah. That's
so like,
true.
Offred's mother is in the colonies in the book, and so it's like her friends. She did have like friends who were people of color who got like shunted off of there.
Right.
Oh. So it was like really explicitly a white supremacist.
Oh, okay.
Thing in the book. Yeah, because Megs knows how to do a dystopia.
Yeah.
She knows what's up.
Yeah. And so now I'm also reading, because I found this 31 books that stay with you long after you've read them, and I realized that's my genre. So now...
like a book that lingers.
Yeah, so I'm now reading Ursula K. Le Guin's Left Hand of Darkness.
Oh yeah, that's a good choice.
Because the blurb about it is that the people of winter can change gender before the mating season, and I was like, what? I have to read this.
Yeah, that's unsurprisingly my wife's favorite author.
Yeah.
Is Ursula K. Le Guin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another author I would recommend in the same sort of genre is Octavia Butler.
Yeah, I also have, because a friend of mine was like, well, The Handmaid's Tale could be happening on the East Coast, but the Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents could be happening on, like, the West Coast, so those are next on my list.
They're phenomenal. They're two of my favorite books ever, and I'm furious that the third was never written, but the two are, they're amazing. Parable of the Sower is incredible. It's one of the best books I've ever read.
Great, I'm making a list.
Yeah, and that's a choice. I actually have on my to-do list of books.
Nice.
Because I talk about that a lot with clients, too. I have some clients that are...
So like a book club, back club?
Like, well, I have some folks that are very avid readers, but I also have a client that has, like, an English degree. Okay. So we talk about books a lot.
Right on.
And, of course, it's one of those things where it depends on the genre. And, I only really read fiction that I've been personally... It's been, like, a personal recommendation.
Sure.
Because I'm really picky about fiction.
Yeah. Mm. I wish I could say the same thing. Yeah. I'm a real tramp when it comes to fiction. I'll read all of it.
Yeah.
I love
it's
it.
It's just kind of pull me in.
Yeah, I read like high literary things, but I love like whatever book like people talked about all year, I want to read that book. Like they did that with
The Girl on the Train. Have you read that?
I have not, but
I got it at a book
was it good?
Book bin. It's fucking amazing.
Mm. Did you read
I really liked it.
Station 11?
No.
That was one of those books that, like, made it to mass market paperback and was, like, on the shelves at Safeway and stuff like that. So it was, like, pretty big. I loved it. It was so good. It's by this, we're doing book club again. it's by this Canadian author. Her name is Emily St. John Mandel. And it's, like, a post-apocalyptic in the same vein as a Octavia Butler insofar as it's, like, it shows the hopeful side. Like, it's, like, how do people rebuild culture in their small little ways after, like, the big thing happens?
Ooh.
And so it's, like...
Resilient
like a,
stories.
Yeah, there's, like, it's a story of resilience. It's, like a traveling troupe of, like, jesters, basically, like, doing old Shakespeare. And they've... Someone wrote a quote from Star Trek The Next Generation on the wagon that they're, like, driving around with, basically. It's something, like, if... like, if art is the thing that makes meaning, like, let's make art or something like that. That's the gist of the quote, and nice. It's kind of like, it's only living if we don't have art, or it's only surviving if we don't have art. It's what we do is living, kind of what it was. Mm. It was really, really good. Great cool. book. Loved it. Interesting back and forth, like, non-linear timeline stuff.
Have really you read cool. The Night Circus?
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of made me, I just read that. That's a book that got me back into reading fiction because somebody recommended
it. That one was a good one. I took it out because I like the cover.
Yeah.
That's, I go to a library and I'm like, that looks juicy. So yeah. That's a good bath book. I liked reading that book in the bath.
Oh, I can't read books in that. No.
No? No. Too dangerous or you'll fall asleep or?
No, I just like... I know so many people that do. I just can't. And then I was talking about, well, it's partly because of the book, but also partly just because of, I have this weird thing, like my hands are dry and the rest of me isn't. My hands feel like weird when I'm touching the pages.
No, that makes sense. Very, like, that a tactile actually, thing. No, that totally makes sense. I like to
fall asleep after reading. So
okay.
I also like, was out with somebody yesterday and people who read while walking.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't do it.
My niece does it, but she's also 12, so.
Yeah.
Aw, classic.
She's amazing.
Teen girl squad.
Oh my god, Chris, a picture popped up on Facebook memories today of like 8 years ago with her when she's like 4. Aww. And she's on my back and she's so small.
And now she's so like tall. A person.
Now she's like a human person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a niece so who's 18. Or 19, sorry.
Yeah, I have a nephew who's turning 19 in July.
And she's, like, she's rad. Like, I'm biased, of course, but if she wasn't rad, I wouldn't say so. But
yeah.
She's definitely smarter than I was when I was her age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Although I'm her feminist influence because she lives in Alberta.
Lifeline. Yeah.
That's tough. Is there, like, a non-binary term that comprises, like, aunt or uncle? Like,
there isn't. There yeah, isn't. That's a lot of people ask about that. Some people use, like, ankle.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Or I'm trying to think of, there are people who use, but there isn't just, like, a term.
That's a little close to yikes.
I know. But...
Although there is a gender-neutral term for niece and nephew.
Nibbling,
yeah.
That's so cute.
My friend Sue uses that.
Yeah, I think that's adorable. That's so really cute. I just ask them to just call me by my name.
That's cool.
Like, I know they still say, like, Uncle Ray sometimes, and I'm like, it's fine, I just... I don't have to have, like, a...
title.
Yeah.
I don't think my nieces and nephews ever call me Auntie anything. Like, it's always just Katie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We're informal like that.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on family.
Yeah. The idea of me having authority over anyone even smaller than me is just so absurd. Like, it's so patently absurd. I'm like, don't ask me anything because I don't know anything, you guys. I'm not a grown-up.
You know lots of stuff.
I know lots of
stuff.
You
give good advice to...
Well, it depends
teens.
On what they're asking, I suppose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I like having all my friends' kids call me Auntie Chris just because I don't have any brothers or sisters.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's an extra, like, it's like, I'm an extra level more cool than, like, just a friend of the family.
And
like,
we used to have
family,
that, too, like, with, like, the close family friends. We always called them an uncle, which I thought was nice.
I'm still so tight with, like, my parents' friends that were, like, relatives to me. Like, almost more so in some cases than actual family members.
Yeah.
Like, Dennis and Anita. They're, you know, we tight.
Yeah. I'm getting, like, it's an interesting thing now that, like, the kids that I was there when they were born, like, some of my first doula babies, or, like, yeah, I was just around, and, like, I've known them since they were little. They're all getting into, like, 6 and 7 year old now, and it's, like, kind of neat. It's, like, oh, my God, they're getting, like,
they're
more personalities.
People.
They kind of know who I am now, like... They're starting to remember lots of stuff, so it's like, now I need to start buying birthday presents, obviously. Like, they're at the age now where it's like, I can start showing up for that stuff a little bit more.
One of my favorite part about that age is that it happens a little bit younger, too, is when they start making jokes. But, like, the jokes that don't make sense at all.
Oh, my God.
But because it's funny, because it's a joke.
Yeah.
Is the best.
Yeah, they're just learning the structure, but, like, they don't have the content yet.
It's like, why was the doctor embarrassed? Because he went poo-poo or something like that. And they just, like, laugh and they laugh and they laugh.
Because it's a joke.
Because it's a joke. And I'm like, that's actually pretty funny. Did he go duty when he was working? Gross. He should have waited. Yeah, I do okay with kids. Because I'm willing to just be a doof.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, fart, poo, bum, wiener.
Farts.
Still funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 32. Farts are still hilarious to me.
So, my roommate, who I love dearly,
has a farting problem.
No, has the best burps. I've lived with her for a year. And almost every time it happens, I giggle.
Just like a really, is it like a really masculine belch or is
it's
it
just
funny?
It's just like, no, it's just like a big belch. Like, it's awesome. And she's still like,
it's like a tavern orc or something.
Kind
like
of like
that.
she'll hear me. She's like, are you laughing at my burp still? I'm like, yeah,
they're
you're
just so,
big.
Delighted.
Like, such a strong burpist.
I just appreciate it so much.
Just sounds like you're enjoying yourself. You know?
That's a good thing. Should we take a short break and refresh our sparkling water and
sure
more
can.
Ice cubes and stuff like that?
Yes,
because it's
please.
Warm as
it's
heck.
Warm.
We're back.
We're back.
Hey.
Yay. We didn't go anywhere, really.
No.
It's actually not terribly, like, super uncomfortable. We do have the fan going, if anyone's wondering what the noise is.
Right,
Ray,
you said you maybe wanted an ice pack.
An ice pack would
ooh,
be
yeah.
An ice pack,
yes.
More like.
You brought ice packs. That's so nice.
I did,
yeah, we're
I did
so.
Not- bring something to wrap it with.
It doesn't matter. I'm just putting it right here.
You want some of this?
No, thanks.
Oh,
I'm
this
good.
Is so cold and so lovely.
Cool.
So, one thing I've noticed since I've been taking testosterone for, like, 9 years.
Wow.
It makes your blood a little bit more thick, and that's usually why people who have, naturally or not, testosterone, it depends on your body type, of course, but it increases your, body temperature by a couple of degrees.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, well, I think it's also because I have extra hair and whatever, but oh my god.
You're warm a lot.
It's, like, if it's comfortable for me, it's usually freezing for other people.
I like it cold.
Yeah, same. Same, like, especially with my room. I live in a basement apartment, but it's still, like, not cold enough.
You really want, like, a meat locker situation.
A little bit more than a meat locker, but yeah.
Like,
not...
Like, close.
Yeah, close.
Close. Like, if you hung up a ham, it wouldn't go bad right away.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I like it cool. I like it cool very much. I've got that Swedish blood, I guess.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I got a good layer over top of everything, so.
Indeed. Same.
Keep my core stays real warm because I'm an apple.
Yeah.
Or it might be a pear, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I got that big butt, you know? I just, like, want to show everybody my butt now. Like, check out how big my butt is, everyone. Look at this shelf. I can balance one of these on there.
You do, like, a sea hags break the internet photo and just have me perching on your big butt.
That would be adorable. Just, like, ride around town on my big booty.
Yeah.
Yeah, bouncing around.
I think I might go to the pool after this.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard from past guest Morgan Brayton that the new Brayton pool is the best place to meet lesbian moms.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey. Yeah,
I really like it because I went with the intention to go swim laps down there, and then there were lots of people swimming laps, and then I was like, why don't I just...
Chill.
And I the actual swimming area is huge, and there was no one there at the time. It was, like, on an evening on, like, a Tuesday or whatever. And I just did, like, lazy circles all around and just, like, floated. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. It's, like, a sensory deprivation tank, but, like, only $5. Like,
yeah.
It's a new moon in Cancer, so you're supposed to go be near some water.
Okay.
I don't know. That's
I'll
a
do
thing.
It. There's a pool in my building.
A little ritual something.
This is the only time I can actually, like, go into a pool with my hair.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Because at the tail end of the dye cycle, it's the only time I want to get anywhere there's chlorine.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, it'll just look like crap.
Yeah.
I just ordered, I want a swim binder, because, like, it's really hard to go swimming in a binder. It sucks.
Yeah.
And I got this, like, mermaid binder from place
with
called...
little swoopy doopies?
From Shapeshifters. They do, like, custom. But the only thing is that is a very long torso.
Right.
And the longest thing that they do, you have to pay extra for extra long, and it's 23 inches, and it's still too short.
Aww.
So I'm kind of sad, but I need to, like, do some sort of thing, like... I'm thinking of putting some stretchy fabric, like, underneath to look like a mock undershirt that I could, like, tuck in.
Yeah.
But I also... funded a Kickstarter called, it's like retro men's, like the
I was just gonna say, like, one of those, wop, 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 wop,
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
kind of
like
20s.
Like a singlet kind
of
swimming
kind
costume.
Of, like, so it's, yeah, so it's, like a tank top, it's
a like
one
like an old-timey
piece.
Weightlifter. Like,
exactly.
You're gonna pick up those, like, 1,000-pound triangles.
Yeah.
That's a perfect look for you!
Right?
Yes!
The only thing is, because I was a little bit late to the Kickstarter campaign, I don't get it until October.
Oh, that's not useful.
But still, I'm really, really excited.
That's
about
really
it.
Fun. That's gonna be super fun.
I also
I
thought
wear
of
that
like
as a bathing suit. Probably. I want also a mustache.
Yeah, like a curly mustache. Yeah.
Obviously.
I also thought about getting a wrestling singlet just to go swimming in.
That would be so wicked.
Right?
I love it.
You could. Yeah. Why not?
That's great. Bring back, like, 1920s style bathing suits. Right? They looked really cute.
Yeah, I agree.
I like it. And for anybody who just doesn't like to, like, take their shirt off at the beach or whatever, yeah, there's plenty of people like that. So, wear a singlet, I guess. All one piece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll all be
well,
happy.
It's the one piece that... Because especially with the spiner, when I lift my arms up, it comes up to, like, here.
Does it just, like, do the flippy roll thing?
Not... Because it's not super tight at the bottom.
Okay.
I just wish it was a bit longer. Yeah. But still. And there was, like, 9 different mermaid colors to choose from. I chose basilisk, which on the side it looked black with, like, green and blue flecks, but it's more kind of, like, silver with
green
and blue. There was also sea witch, which
that's
was bright pink.
Oh. How is that? That doesn't compute to me.
That dog don't hunt.
Sea witch is like...
Yeah, I think something more green.
Yeah.
Like a deep purple with a green iridescence or something like that.
I really
that's
like
how
those,
I'd do it.
Those mermaid tails that you can buy to swim in.
I want one.
I really want one. I want to learn how to swim
you
that
very
way.
Well.
Me and my sister used to do that whenever we'd go to a pool on like family vacations.
Yeah,
you
play mermaids.
And dolphins.
Yeah.
Could you do a good dolphin noise?
No, I never perfected that. It was just about keeping your feet together when you swim. Mm-hmm. But when you're a dolphin, you don't really use your arms. Mermaid,
you, so you just kind of flop gracelessly through the water.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's fun.
So, but like a human pretending to be a dolphin in the water is like a seal trying to get around on land, where it just kind of like humps,
doop, 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 doop,
humps its way around. Yeah.
Would you, like, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, like, it was dolphins in captivity, because I would always play with friends and you'd like do tricks and stuff together, and it's like, oh, that's not very nice anymore. I don't like that.
Could you hold out your arms like a... like a hoop and get your friend to jump through.
I think my arms are too teeny for anyone to go through.
Yeah,
I love
punching you in the face. Let's go to Brighton Pool, see what we can do.
Yeah, I always like doing synchronized swimming with friends too. That was always fun. I like kind of forgot how to be in the pool, you know, like going to that pool there. Because normally I just swim in the ocean, or if I go to like Britannia, I would just swim laps.
Yeah.
But then to just be like, what do people do in the pool? And so I was just, like, splashing around and, like, floating and whatever, and I was like, this is really nice. Like, it was, like, it felt like it was recapturing, like, a nice childhood thing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. The thing I liked the most as a kid, like, going to the pool or just going swimming was such an exciting thing for me. It was, like, the best thing I could think of.
Yeah.
And now somebody's like, you want to go to the pool? I'm like, there's Band-Aids and chlorine there.
Just gets ruined.
Yucky.
Yeah.
A child might pee on me.
That's what the chlorine's for.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. My eyes burn. That's how you know it's working.
And I know that they still have the trans swims at Templeton, but it's usually on a Sunday, and I always work on Sundays.
Yeah.
But that was always really fun, too, because I didn't have to wear a binder if I didn't want to. And I do want to get to rec at some point. I haven't went in a couple years, but that also, like, feels totally comfortable to... As long as I go on, so I'm a delicate flower and can't be in the sun for very long. So,
you can rent an umbrella down there.
It's true, but even that, when the sun gets too high in the sky, I'm just done. So, because then you have to go back up those stairs, and so I like going at, like, 9 or 10 in the morning on a weekday, and, like, leaving by noon or 1.
Mm. Oh, that's clever.
Because then you kind of miss the crowds, and...
For sure.
Yeah, but it's always a bit of a motivation the first time to be like... Okay, these stairs. But I've made a rule. If you sit on every bench for at least a minute on the way up, it's not that bad.
Yeah. It's the Rec Beach stairs really, like, once I discovered podcasts, like, it just made it better because I can just, like, listen to stuff.
Yeah.
Even when I go with friends, I'm like, I'm ignoring all of you and I'm going to do this at my own pace.
I'm going to slop my way up there.
And just meet me at the top.
I have a very kind of strict rule about I'll only bring people that are, like, my level of fitness or non-fitness. Because I remember going to Rec Beach with somebody in the beginning, and they made fun of me that I took so long on the stairs.
No,
that's a shitty thing to do.
It was a completely shitty thing to do. I didn't stand up for myself. But now it's still, like, really marked me, because, like, I'm a fat person. I've been made fun of a lot for not being good at doing things. So, yeah, I'll just take lazy people with me now.
Yeah. That's fun.
I'm pretty fit, but I like
drink
to be
a bunch
slowly.
Yeah, hey. Yeah.
Sorry. I talked over you.
That's fine. I was just going to say, like, if you get really fit people, you just make sure that they, like, smoke a lot of weed down there or something, and then, like, you can be on the
same
level.
Yeah, then it's fine.
Level.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm just dreaming about going to the beach now.
Yeah.
Trying to think, I'm glad that we went to the Korean spa, because then I finally did something where I felt comfortable being totally naked in a public situation, but on the beach, I haven't been to Wreck Beach in, like, 5 years.
Yeah. It's Katie was saying, like, I'm not going to be your Wreck Beach friend. I'm sorry.
Well, it's for the same reason that you said, you know, it's just too fucking hot. Like, yeah. It's too hot. The sun's really so hot. Intense. And I'm really, like, I don't tan. Although I'm getting more sort of close to a brown shade than I have ever been, I think, this summer already, which mm-hmm. is weird. I just am outside a lot, so.
Yeah, I get burned very quickly. And the sun just, like, saps my energy sometimes if mm-hmm. I'm in directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Did you go to JJ Spa? Is that what you're talking about? I just wish it wasn't so gendered, because I'd love to go to a place like that. But they're very heavily gendered.
It
very
sucks. It would be nice if they would do, like a couple nights a month or something where it was, like, an all-bodies sort of situation.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Which would be really neat.
Because I've heard really good things.
Mm-hmm. We had a fantastic time. But it is kind of a bummer in that regard. But that's hey, privilege, right?
Yeah.
It sucks, but it is. As it is, till we crush it. Not the spa. The spa itself is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, binaries. Mm-hmm. They're dumb. Yeah. They even give you, like, gendered clothes to wear, even though they're exactly the same. It's like,
oh, really?
you get blue and you get pink.
That's
in your
hilarious.
Little spa outfit. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
It's so comfy, though. It's like a ridiculously giant shorts and giant top that are basically scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. And then you just see other people padding around, and then they're like, wait a second. Did we all come here at the same... How long have you been here? Yeah, we just live here.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Pretty much can.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm just like... Yeah, I'm not being very present right now because I'm just dreaming about, like... I've got a book waiting for me at the library. I decided to, like, reread some of those Cushiel's Avatar books, Jacqueline Carey. Mm. It's like a fantasy...
Sexy fantasy.
I was, like, feeling really in the mood and I saw... Like, just for some, like, tasty trash that's, like, a little bit horny.
Yeah.
Because it's
wow, you really just described my favorite genre of book.
Yeah.
Tasty trash. Just a little bit horny.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Ting.
And it's, like, it's very, like, S&M kind of themed in the whatever. And, like, it's loosely based on just the world itself. And so I really love it when there's, like, analogous, like, oh, I can tell that they're talking about England because they're calling it this, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Whatever. And so I just want to, like, sit under a shady tree and then go for a swim and then, like, read some of that trash.
That sounds wonderful.
That does sound really good.
I kind of have the whole weekend just to myself because my partner's at the guitar festival all weekend.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
And, my brain is totally, like, melting out of my ear and all I want to do is just go play outside now.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Chris, we have work to do.
No, content. Oh, God.
We have to make that good content. I want to ask more anatomy questions.
Oh, yeah,
I'm trying to think about them right now. Like, yeah, I just want to go book a massage, like, right now. It's such an expensive habit, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's
do you know about
penny.
The school clinic?
I live right beside West Coast College Massage Therapy.
Okay.
So I find that, like, it's a really great deal. It's like $26 or $30 or something for an hour. But sometimes you get somebody who's at the very beginning of the program. And sometimes you get someone who's like 2 months from being done.
You can generally ask for,
like, give
the
me someone
advanced,
good, please.
The advanced clients.
I did have someone
students.
Once who was getting tested by someone who gave off such an aura of authority that I was scared.
Oh.
It was so weird. It was like a moment in a movie where someone was being tested, and I was just like, props. It was so bizarre.
Hmm.
And she was not good, because she was too nervous.
Aww.
So
I'm at Vancouver College of Massage Therapy, and that person would have been a clinic instructor. That's what I've been doing for the past few months.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah.
I doubt you have the same sort of intimidation factor.
Yeah, no.
No, yeah, no.
I think I did when I first did it, because... I didn't want to be too lax, but I don't have an education background where I just know how to be an RMT, but I'm more thinking about what would have been helpful for me at that stage. I'm with a 800 part-time class, so they're graduating in like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And the class I'm with has just totally ruined me. They're fantastic.
Oh, good. It's like, oh no. Oh no. Yay.
So
right about face.
Yeah.
So those evals, when you're with them, they have to do that once a term. You're with them from when they pick their client up to when they drop them off. Is probably one of the most boring things ever. Especially when they're good, because you're like... Watching somebody massage for an hour is really boring.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, now I want a massage. But yeah, no, like, the class I'm with is really, really good. And it's just interesting being on the other side when you're not the one stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're, like, causing someone else stress by
a
being there, kind of. That's
sort
of funny. I just realized that your septum ring matches your glasses.
It's on purpose.
Obviously. I don't think anything happens by accident.
That's why I'm wearing the flowers today,
It's too. Perfect. I love it. It's great. I love coordination. I love thoughtfulness.
I also have teal glasses, teal plugs, and a teal shirt.
It's adorable.
There's also these glasses that are, like, clear acrylic with flowers on them that I want to get to match the plugs that I'm wearing right now.
Nice. Oh, my gosh. That's so cute.
I like the matching.
Mm-hmm. You've got an aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to stick to it.
Yep.
Hell yeah. That's wicked. This is a very predictable question, but, like, when did you get the bug to do this, like, as a career?
Massage?
Yeah, have you always been, like, somebody who got sucked into massaging people? Because that's my history, for sure.
I would massage, like, my mom and my sister when I was younger, because my hands were always really warm. Mm-hmm. But growing up in Alberta, the massages that I had there weren't great. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I only went to, like, two people, but they were more, like, glorified oil applications.
Oh, yeah, it was, like, a spa massage that wasn't...
But with, like, no pressure. So I didn't really think about it. And then I went to school for graphic design, didn't finish because it's not what I wanted to do. And then I moved here, and I really wanted to go back to school. I just didn't know for what. But because I dropped out of a two-year program, I was kind of worried. So I was thinking about doing the bodywork program that's, like, 7 months. But I'm like, nah, I'm just going to want to do the RMT program. So I did, and obviously it worked out. But I didn't realize how academic it was. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to know a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That I've probably promptly forgotten. Now that I'm back at the school, I'm like, oh, yeah. Right. But, yeah, it worked out really well. It's funny. Okay, so I either want to be a massage therapist, mm-hmm. an ASL interpreter, or a mechanic. Because I like knowing how things work. Mm-hmm. I like working with my hands, but I also like working with people. So the massage therapist thing also works very well with that.
Nice.
I feel like I would... mechanic, I'd be a lot harder on my body. Also, I couldn't deal with the society or the environment.
The culture.
The culture mm-hmm. of being a mechanic.
The toxic masculinity of it all.
I would just be angry all
you
the time.
You don't like the boobies on my calendar? The boobies help me fix the cars. They relax me.
Yeah, I just, no, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no. That's fascinating. Those three things together. They do make perfect sense in that context.
Working with your hands. Mm-hmm. Working with people, other people. Yeah.
Figuring out how things work.
Yeah, exactly.
How things fit together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, because of being at the school as a clinic instructor, I want to know more about being an instructor. So I'm going to take the provincial instructor diploma.
Cool.
Which is part-time. Well, it's all online, except for one course. It's 7 different modules. And then the last module is like a capstone project where you develop curriculum, teach a class, record it, and do some self-reflective writing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all about how to educate adults in post-secondary.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of stoked about it.
Yeah, and so is teaching a thing that you've ever wanted to do, or is it something you've avoided doing?
No, I've always kind of wanted to do it, but I've always not felt confident because I don't have the skills of an educator, mm-hmm. which is hopefully what this course is going to help me with.
Right.
Yeah.
Teach you some pedagogy.
Exactly. so I'm stoked about that. And also just, like, long term, if I want to do something else. What if I hurt myself or something like that?
True.
Contingency plans.
Yeah. Well, and it's also just nice to be in a place where, like, yeah, I use my brain at work all the time, but I'm mostly using my hands and what I feel. Mm-hmm. So it's just nice to have something a slightly different direction.
Mm-hmm. I really like that you're getting into the clinic teaching thing, because, yeah. like, you're an amazing massage therapist. Yeah. And, like, you were talking about creating sort of a safe space and, like... I really feel that. Like, I definitely went to you because it was like, I don't feel super comfortable in my body all the time, and I would feel maybe embarrassed going to something. It's just like, oh, my body's too fat, and the massage therapist is going to judge me or whatever, and even though I know that usually is not.
Yeah, it's usually not the case, but you don't know if somebody's, I've unfortunately heard stories of people going and their RMT telling them to lose weight, mm-hmm. or because it is still, like, a paramedical program, it's very fat phobic.
Mm-hmm.
And we get maybe, like, we talk about queer folks and, like, trans folks, but they're lumped in together, which doesn't make any sense, because mm-hmm. dealing with somebody who's queer is dealing with somebody who's trans is very different. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of something that I kind of have thoughts about having a continuing education workshop about how to work better with trans clients and with being more body positive.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'd like to see more people taking that.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I know there's some people that want to know more about that, but I wish it was more taught in school as just like a given.
A general thing that everyone gets rather than, oh, take the specialty class to learn about these specialty people. It's like...
And another RMT made a good point because I was looking for an RMT who was trans-friendly in like Nanaimo, and one of my instructors was like, well, shouldn't all RMTs be trans-friendly? And I'm like, yeah, they should be, but I guess I should make a difference. There's trans and queer-friendly and there's trans and queer knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for somebody who's queer and trans knowledgeable. Because, yeah, friendly is different, but you might end up educating that person if they don't know specific things.
Yeah, so you want them to have a good working knowledge, like, going into it, so that you don't have to handhold them.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you're there to get cared for, rather than...
Yeah, because that's going to be uncompensated labor.
Yeah.
And that's what we ask of, you know, trans people, queer people, women, people of color.
All the time.
Yep. God forbid we make a straight, cisgendered white man work for once. I love that voice so much. I've been doing it a lot lately. I have no idea what it is, who it is. It's just like some
brassy
dame.
Ah!
Okay, that voice is just called Brassy Dame now. That was really weird, Chris.
Well, that's exactly what the voice is.
Yeah, I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
But that we both came to that knowledge at the same moment is very cosmic.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're interdependent.
It's true. It's true. Many tendrils. Woven together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that voice is either.
No. That's a bit more like a wizard. A wizard?
I'm the love wizard.
Oh man. But
the bonds of your friendship are strong. Any weasel.
Yeah. I just like it really. Yeah, I think it's really important to be able to like make people feel. Like, yeah, safe to go to a massage, because, like we were talking about before, like, getting your body touched by, like, a stranger is, like, an intimate thing, and so, like, to be able to feel vulnerable, like, I went to you the first time was when I was having really, really bad anxiety and panic attacks, after, like, a bad work incident, and so just feeling like I just needed, like, some kind of release of, like, I don't know, I think you did a lot of abdomen work.
Yeah, usually if somebody has a lot of emotional stuff, I ask if they... If I can work on their abdomen, because I've done some visceral manipulation, which is working with the organs, and a lot of the organs are linked with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And just generally, like, when you think about your gut and where your emotional brain is, it's in your abdomen.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, being more, like, trauma-informed, and, like, I also deal with, like, mental health issues, and which I try and be really open about, because, you know, like, there shouldn't be a stigma around that.
Yep.
But I mean, you can go with somebody that you're comfortable with. And I also know, like, a lot of self-identified fat folks that don't want to go to massage or physio or whatever because they've had so many bad experiences. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Is there a network? I mean, I imagine that there are for trans and queer folk that describe, like, who is friendly to that. But is there, like, a network for fat people?
There is. So, like, there's Fat Panic that has, like, a list.
Mm-hmm, right.
I actually got a client because I was the only person listed on that list. But I feel like I know some other folks that are fat positive that might not necessarily know about that network. So, on Facebook, there's also, like, the Queer Exchange, Lower Mainland. And a lot of people will post about, I'm looking for somebody who's, like, fat friendly or trans friendly, queer friendly, or all three of those are trauma informed, and then people will just give suggestions. Like, my name comes up a lot, like Bex comes up a lot. I also say on mine that I'm kink friendly, which a student asked me that. They're like,
shows up with a bunch of cane marks on their butt.
Exactly, because she's like, why would you put that on your thing? I'm like, well, exactly. If somebody comes in with a bunch of marks, I'm not going to be like, oh,
we need to call the cops.
Yeah, I'm like, are these consensual? That's like really all I asked. Do you want to tell me what happened? You don't have to, but like, if you want to, you can totally tell me. and like, we'll just, you know. There's not going to be any sort of judgment or worried that the person is being abused, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's that's interesting. Yeah, I'm wondering, like, if... Because I like to imagine that I don't put any kind of value judgments on students, because I'm an academic advisor, so I see people on a fairly regular basis who often are in crisis.
Right.
And I'm wondering, like, do I put anything on these people? And I'm like, I do, probably, like, because that's human, right? But I'm more and more trying not to, and just trying to, like... just be an advocate for people in those situations, because it's like, I don't even care if people are gaming the system, really, like, what does it affect me? Like, if they're, if they've made up a dead grandmother, then they must be really stressed out.
Yeah, and, yeah, exactly.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
So I'll just help them or whatever. So, like, that's something I'm trying to do more of, but I'm like, yeah, there are definitely things that a person, the way a person speaks or whatever, then I will, like, decide whether or not they're deserving of help, at least on the, that'll be the first impression.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that overrides it, hopefully, is the real person that I am.
Yeah.
As opposed to just somebody who's socially conditioned to judge.
Well, it's interesting. I was listening to, so I listen to a lot of, like, Dharma podcasts and, like, meditation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a Buddhist teacher that I've listened to says that the first thought that comes into your brain is not you. It's the second thought that responds to that is... Because, like, we are not our thoughts and that whole, like, Buddhist thing. So it's interesting. You notice the first thing that comes up, but it's the one that follows that that is actually, like,
I think I read the same teachings at some point, and I was like, that's that sort of stuck in my craw, and was like, yeah, no, that feels authentic to me.
Yeah, the first thing that pops up is, like, a little more of a societal conditioning.
It's a knee-jerk. Honestly, my knee-jerk reactions are sometimes, like, sometimes I'm an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'm a huge dick.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, fuck that person. They're so... Everybody's fighting a battle. Yeah. We're all on a goddamn journey.
Well, we all have our own biases about, like, we are seeing things through a certain lens. Like, I know I have a bias towards, like, middle-aged white women. I know that that's a bias. Because for some reason I look at that group as, like, very privileged, and I know where that comes from, and that's something that really happened in the beginning of my practice, and I've totally realized that now. Mm-hmm. And, like, so it doesn't, like, I don't think it ever affected my work, but I was like, why am I always feeling, like, a little bit resentful towards this demographic. I wonder why.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a middle-aged white lady soon.
Me too.
Well.
But will we really be middle-aged? I mean, we will be literally middle-aged white ladies, but we don't have to be middle-aged white ladies.
Yeah. I think I'm thinking of, like, a very specific type.
You don't have to be Karen with the "can I speak to the manager" haircut.
Yeah.
I will have your job.
No, Karen.
I was told by Apple Care. There's a certain, the entitlement, but the also, like, protectability of it.
Mm.
Like, oh, they're just, it's just our aunties and our moms, and they're just so sweet.
I really like the way that Jackie Cation, who's an awesome, awesome comic, says that she wants to use her, like, she wants to be, like, a white lady meat shield for her. She's like, if I see some, like, some bad shit going down with the cops, like, I will be the white lady meat shield.
Nice.
This is like, I don't want to fucking have to do it, but I'm gonna do it, because this is what I got working with right now, and it's like...
She's got that affable middle American mom look to her.
Yeah, and she's like, no one fucks with me.
Yeah.
Because... I've got all of this, like, I may as well use it, like, to help
people. I got Costco jeans and a t-shirt. I am as unthreatening as it gets.
Yeah.
I have a pet iguana. Which she does.
Nice.
Oh,
which would maybe be threatening if you carried it around. I don't know.
Mm.
They have salmonella.
Yeah.
Well, their tails are pretty intense.
Let us all strive to not be middle-aged white ladies, I guess.
I don't think that's in my near future.
No, most likely not. Most likely not.
Yeah, you got a head start on that.
Yes!
My TV viewing habits are probably middle-aged white lady. Oh, my procedural.
And your taste in literature as well, with the horny historical fiction, but that's okay.
Historical fiction.
You're allowed to love some parts of the genre.
Of course. The genre of being a middle-aged white lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll say this about them. They love their wine.
Boy, howdy.
That's so crazy.
Me and wine, the only two things that get better with age. I think my mom has that hanging up in her kitchen.
Hi, Brenda.
Well,
excellent. Well, the Sleepy Summer podcast series has officially begun.
And you really want to get under that tree right now, don't you?
You know, I think that we're kind of... Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
I'm so bad.
You could try to pretend you're like, no, it's fine. It's like you've been checked out for the last 40 minutes.
I'm sorry. Podcast guests, please come on our podcast. We will make sure that you have ice packs, and I'll try to be more present.
Hey, I had a great time.
Excellent.
Well, especially with this ice pack that's just been, it's totally thawed now.
That's the heat so of my spicy hot.
the heat of my body.
That body heat.
Yep.
Body language.
Why did it get so dark all of a sudden?
Someone behind a cloud.
Oh my god.
Because I put a spell on it.
Oh my god, it's an eclipse.
Everybody's hexed.
Damn.
That's the end of the episode.
Bye.